the Lord Christ. It's good to be in the Lord's house today, and we look forward to hearing from him. Branson, would you open us in a word of prayer, please?
I'm going to sing the Star Spangled Banner to start out. I'm going to sing all four verses, so you may need your hymn book. It's hymn number 436.
There's a man who lives beside me who fought in World War II. He proudly waves old glory from high upon his roof. He starts out every morning like it's Independence Day. I've seen him at attention salute the flag and say, I love this land. From sea to shining sea, I love this land. Home of the brave and free, I love the liberty, the justice, and the truth in which we stand. One nation under God, I love this land. All across the country, big cities, little towns, while mama's getting ready, dad pulls the car around. They join the congregation to sing the truth in which we stand, one nation under God, I love this land. God bless America, land I love. Truth in which we stand, one nation under God, I love this land. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I love this land.
And to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God,
I love this land.
Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Under God.
One nation.
It's our honor to have the Olsons with us in Sunday school. You would found out he's a retired pastor, just recently retired in May, and he's starting a new ministry called Rough Riders, but he's come to preach for us this morning, invited him to come, and so just fasten up and get ready to go. We're going to hear some preaching.
Well, you know, it's great to have the choir sit in the auditorium in the seats. My goodness, what a choir. And your pastor told me to preach until I'm finished and don't be afraid. You know, Jeremiah said, don't be afraid of their faces, and I learned that. But your pastor said, don't be afraid to say anything because this is armor-plated right here. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm excited about the 4th of July. I'm excited about our freedoms that we have. You know, being in the military, I don't think there's a veteran that does not appreciate the flag that that we live and stand for. You know, that's why so many people want to come to the United States of America, because there is so much that we have to offer. And, you know, at one time, the United States of America stood open with their arms. We have a statue in New York's harbor that welcomed people. And, you know, I think we've kind of forgotten that. Things have kind of gone overboard, and now we kind of stand off to those who are coming. But let me tell you what I believe. We were supposed to go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel. It seems as if God says, if you won't go, I will bring them to you. And that's the freedoms, really, that they are looking for. They're looking for freedom to be able to make money, to have a house, to have a job, but also they are coming because they need the freedom of Christ. And they don't know it. 27 years I didn't know until I came to the realization of Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For 27 years I looked for peace with God and I couldn't find it. I looked for it and I couldn't find it. But the Bible says that I am justified now, just as if I had never sinned. And that comes through Jesus Christ. And those who are coming for freedoms, they are looking for peace with God, and they think they can find it with money, material things. You can only have the real peace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He and He alone is the only one that gives us the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I want us to understand that verse a little bit. It says, through our hearts and minds, that we might know the peace of God. Hearts and mind. Can I tell you that our heart is different than our mind? Our mind does not control our heart. Now, I'm talking about Christians. Before I was saved, I was controlled by my mind, through my feelings, through my desires. But then after I got saved, now I am controlled by my heart, because that's where the Holy Spirit of God lives. And matter of fact, the Spirit of God dictates, listen, each one of us to our minds on what we are to do, where we are to go, and what we are to say. But see, so many Christians don't understand who they are in Christ to the point to where they don't understand how that works. See, we think that we have Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we're so happy. And I am too, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But there's a difference. Now the Holy Spirit of God controls my life. Not my mind, not my flesh. Now the Spirit of God. So when we begin to think about these things, I want us to realize that God has given Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior over your life. God did that. You did not do that. I want you to turn to the book of Acts chapter number 3, or Acts chapter number 2, if you would please. But I want to talk about freedoms today. I want to talk about the freedoms that we have in Christ Jesus. I am so thankful. So thankful that I have been born in the United States of America. My grandfather came over from Sweden, went through Ellis Island, settled in Chicago. He worked on the big boilers, on the big steam engines. And from there, my dad moved down to Bloomington, Illinois, where I was born. And then we went from there to St. Joe, Missouri, and then to Kansas City. But I'm so thankful that I was born here. You know, when we were missionaries in Sweden, I had a language teacher that was mad at me. She didn't like me because I'm from America and she is not. She said, you know how life would be different if I would have been born in America? I said, yeah, life would have been really different. They don't understand the freedoms that we have. You think about socialism, you think about Sweden. They are 100% socialistic. 100%. It's a different mindset. So when you go to them and you talk about being free in Christ, they say, we're already free. See, when you're born, you're baptized, you're married, and you're buried in the Lutheran church. And therefore, I am what you call saved, they say. But when you begin to talk about the real freedoms that you have, no, the government gives us our freedoms. No, the government does not give you freedom. Now, I can live under that government and be free, but the freedoms doesn't come from the government. Nor is that the same way here in the United States of America. Our government does not free us. We are free indeed, are we not, when we are in Christ Jesus. That's the greatness about our freedom. That's the greatness about the 4th of July. Because that one morning when they looked out and they saw old glory waving, they recognized that we have a freedom that nobody else has. And really, we as Americans, we have a freedom that nobody understands until you become an American. And you take a look at the rest of the world and see that they are looking for freedom. But in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 36, the Bible says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, without a doubt, that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Father, we ask the blessing upon the reading of Thy Word. Father, it is strong. It is powerful. It changes lives. It saves those who are looking to have peace with God. And Father, it just encourages us that we do have the peace of God and we have the peace with God. So Lord, I pray that You would instruct us this morning. Father, speak to us in a mighty, mighty way. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You know, we as pastors, we use a lot of big terms. Terms that we learned in Bible college, seminary. Terms that we talk about to one another. And that's the sovereignty of God. You know what the sovereignty of God means? Sovereignty of God means that He makes all the rules. Oh, you didn't realize that. Did you realize that He is God and you are not? No, He has sovereignty. But we don't. That means that He is the one that sets all of the rules. He's the one that puts everything together. He is sovereign. He's the one who has raised the sun, and He's the one who brings the moon. He's the one that occupies the gravity that we take a look at. The Bible says that He's the one that provides the rain on the just and the unjust. Now, the only thing is you have to figure out who you are. Down in Wichita, Kansas, we've been in the drought for a long time, and He brought the rain, praise the Lord. He brought it on those farmers that were ungodly and those who are godly. You just need to figure out who you are. But He does rain on the just and the unjust. Rain doesn't come. Matter of fact, there was a time when He stopped the moon, or He stopped the sun. And He can do that because He's sovereign. He has all the plans. He has all the purpose. Matter of fact, we need to realize that the sovereignty of God goes all the way back in the very beginning with Adam and Eve. The sovereignty of God. You know, when God made the heavens and the earth, and He made all the plants, and He made all the mammals and all the animals and all the fish, and He put the sun in the sky and the moon. But then He did something really miraculous. He said, "I'm going to do something that I've never done before." He said, "I'm going to," in Genesis, He says, "I'm going to make a man." And He said that He's going to form man out of the dust of the ground. Now you see, I have a very vivid imagination. Your pastor knows that. Now I can just imagine that as God formed and He put together the dust of the ground and He made a head and arms and legs and feet. And there was a body that was laying there. But this body had no identification. It did not know who it was. He did not know that God formed him. He didn't know who he was. There was no purpose to him. But then the Bible says, and let me read it to you, Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living," what, church? "Soul." Not a spirit, but a soul. So for the very first time, this body that God made, he had no identification. He didn't even know that he was around the sovereignty of God until God blew into his nostrils and made him a living soul. And a soul is one who has identity one with another. He made this man to have communication with another person, be able to identify and to be able to communicate and to be able to talk with one another. But then you say, there was nobody here but just Adam. Who was he going to communicate with? Well, you know, later on it says that man should not be alone, so he provided a helpmeet. God puts everything together purposely, doesn't he? He does everything perfect, everything. So he created a man with a soul so that he was able to communicate with another human being, and then he made a woman so that they were able to communicate back and forth. See, that's what the soul does. You know, when I call and I talk to your pastor, I don't see his body, but I can see his soul. I can hear him as he speaks to me through the phone. That's what communication is. That's how we communicate one with another, through our soul. That's our will. That's our mind. That's our emotions. That's how we communicate one with another. God gave that to us. And aren't you glad that God gave us that ability to be able to communicate and speak one with another? No, God knew that Adam and Eve needed to learn how to speak one to another. But then something took place. He told Adam. He said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet." But God told Adam, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that thou shalt not eat of it, and in the day that thou shalt eat of it, thou shalt surely die." Here's this tree that's standing out in the middle of all these other trees that they could eat from. Now, I want us to pay close attention. In this tree housed both good and evil. You know, for a long time, I thought this tree just housed the evil, so that you would be able to understand and I would be able to understand just the evilness of this world. But yet, he says, this tree contained both good and evil. Now, what does that mean? That means at one time, Adam and Eve were relying upon God to supply everything that they had need of. And for them to partake of that tree, that then for the very first time in their life, they were able to make a decision on their own. And God said, "I don't want you to do that. I want you to follow me." Because when he made Adam and Eve, he put not only a soul into them, but he also gave them his spirit so that they could communicate with God. Now, he says, something's going to die. Thou shalt surely die. Well, we know that when the woman saw the tree, that it was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also to her husband, for he did eat. And since Adam did eat, we know that there was some kind of death that took place that day. Because the Bible says so. Because God says so. Something's going to die. Did the body die? The body died later on because of sin. Did the soul die? That ability to be able to speak one with another, communicate? No, that didn't die. What died? The Spirit of God. For them to be able to communicate one with God. That's what died. And we as Christians, we need to understand that. That when we receive Christ as our personal Savior, that which was dead is now alive in us through Christ Jesus. Originally, Adam and Eve could have lived forever, always communicating with God, always looking for God. But you know what happened? God said, Adam, where are you? Adam, where art thou? Adam said, "Well, I'm in the garden. I'm hiding." "But why are you hiding?" "Well, I had fear." That's when Adam realized that his relationship with God, he had no fear before that. No fear. You know, the mind brings fear. Mind brings all kinds of funny things when we begin to think about our minds. That's why the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. When we come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives us a sound mind. Now we need to learn how to operate from that sound mind, from the heart. Not this mind. Not this mind. Because this mind sees all kinds and imagines all kinds of things that really aren't there. Fear was not part of Adam and Eve until Adam sinned. So when you and I receive Christ as our personal Savior, what was given to us was our spirit. Now we are able to communicate with God. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And now we have that communication with God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's the way God had intended Adam and Eve and you and I to live this life. But we know in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God for your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who was Paul speaking to? He was speaking to saved individuals, wasn't he? So he declares that there is a body, there is a soul, and that there is a spirit. And because there is a body, soul, and spirit, the body is the carrier of the soul and spirit. And the soul, of course, was that which God breathed into you and I so that we can communicate, but yet our spirit was given to us so that we might be able to communicate with our Heavenly Father. We need to understand who we are. And there's a lot of Christians that do not understand. Why do I think bad thoughts? Does that come from the spirit? No, that comes from the soul. That comes from our mind. Our mind thinks these things. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life. That doesn't come from our heart. It doesn't come from the spirit. It comes from the old flesh. It comes from the soul when we begin to think on our own and make decisions on our own. But what happened with Adam was that something did die, and it was the spirit. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. No, let me tell you, when you were born, when I was born into the Adams family. I'm not thing. But you and I, we were born into Adams family, were we not? We weren't born into God's family. How many times have we heard on radio and TV and even people that you've talked to, hey, we are all part of God's family. No, you're not. You're born into Adam's family. There's only one way to be into God's family. And when we begin to understand that, we'll be able to understand what Romans is all about. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Not one person is righteous. Not one person is with body, soul, and spirit. There's a body. What a marvelous thing. Well, let me tell you. What a marvelous thing this body is. Amen? Some of our bodies look a whole lot better than some others, don't we? The marvelous body. Think about this body. Marvelous body. It's able to heal itself. I want you to think about this thing. You know what that is? The heart that beats while you're listening and sitting right there. It's beating on its own. God made that body that way. God made that. These marvelous eyes. Marvelous hearing. Back in 2000, I had colon cancer. Went through 6 months chemotherapy. I lost all of my taste buds. My favorite cereal is Captain Crunch. You know, I was so sad I couldn't taste it. I could probably eat the box and get more enjoyment out of it. But you know, after chemotherapy, yes, there is life after chemotherapy. I was eating Captain Crunch one day and taste bud came alive. Woo! And then another one and another one and another one, another one. And now I'm back eating Captain Crunch all I want to, and I love it. I even love hot dogs. I love to eat. I just love the thing that God has done for me is giving me those taste buds. And don't you enjoy your taste buds? Oh, I mean, really? God gave us those taste buds. Why? So that we might enjoy food. And you know, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that we're not under the law, because I love my bacon. I love my bacon. But God made us that way. And we need to understand some things about this body, that we were born. We were born into Adam's family with sin, not with the Spirit. People that are not saved do not understand the Word of God, because the Word of God is a spiritual book. It was written by holy men of God that were moved by the Spirit of God. And that's why the world today is trying to dumb it down so that the average person on the street would be able to read it and understand it. No, you can't understand it without the Holy Spirit. You can't. There is none that understandeth, 3:11. There is none that seeketh after God. 27 years, I didn't seek after God. Well, I was looking for peace with Him, but I didn't seek after Him. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's why Romans 5:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's Bible. And you know, we said this morning, truth comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to know the truth? This book is the truth. It doesn't contain the truth. It is the truth. Faith cometh by hearing. And if you want to hear something, you better want to hear the truth. Because there's a lot of lies that are out there. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the penalty for our sin is stated in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is what, church? It's death. It's death. You know what death is? Death is separation. You know, whenever you have a funeral here, death brings in the body. And that death means that there's a separation. That body no longer has a soul. It's no longer breathing. Something's separated. It's just a body. That's what death is. There's a separation that takes place. And that's what the Bible was talking about when it talks about death. It says, for the penalty, for the wages of sin is death. And death means our separation from God. We're dead to God. We have no awareness of God. We don't want any awareness of God. Because this old flesh is welling up. Hey, it doesn't take much to watch TV in what took place last month. What type of month was last month? Pride month. Pride month. And you know what the problem is? Is that they are proud. And what does the Bible say? Pride goeth before a fall. But here it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But yet God commandeth His love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how much He loves us. And you know, I don't have to wake up in the morning and wonder, does God love me? Does God love me? You know, I wake up in the morning and we'll have breakfast. We'll be sitting there having coffee and taking a look out there at the horses and watching the combines go back and forth and harvest the wheat and have just a marvelous time. We talk about all kinds of things. I hope you all get a chance to be able to do that. Sometimes I have to say, honey, do you love me? And she'll say, oh, yeah, honey, I love you. I said, do you like me? She said, no, not today. But, you know, I don't have to question that with my God. Because God has given me His Spirit to where I did not have His Spirit. But He commended His love towards me, towards you, towards every individual. That He loved me even before I became aware of who. So that's what people are looking for today. People are looking for peace. They're looking for purpose. Who am I? Why am I here? Listen, I grew up during the 60s. I knew what that was like. I used to go down to Volcker Fountain and play frisbee with all the long hairs. What were they looking for? They were looking for their identity, weren't they? They were looking for their identity, and they couldn't find it. You know, and many of them still do not know who they are. And let me tell you, the first Sunday in June was my first Sunday when I was not a pastor. For 40 years, I've always been a pastor. Now I have a pastor, which is awesome. But let me tell you, that Monday morning when I woke up and I was not a pastor, where I used to identify, I'm a pastor. I had no identity. I'm not a pastor. I have no people. I have no church. for 40 years. I always was a pastor. So I had to find out, who am I? You know what my identification is today? Even while I was pastoring, my identity is found in Christ. And if you're born again, you need to understand that your identity is found in Christ, not in what you do. Because let me tell you, before I was saved, that's how I found my identity. And let me help you, ladies, if you don't know about your man, men identify with the things that they do. What do you do? Oh, I do this and I do that and I play golf and I'm a carpenter. You know, we identify with the things that we do. But what we need to recognize and realize, we need to identify who we are in Christ Jesus. That is first and foremost. A lot of Christians have no identity. They don't know who they are. But when you're in Christ, when you are in Christ, you're able to understand these things. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. I am a sinner that is saved by grace. Matter of fact, can I tell you that you can never find a Christian, a saint, who is called a sinner once they get saved? It's not there. A person who received Christ as their personal Savior in the Word of God, they're always called to the saints. To the saints at Philippi, to the saints over here, to the saints over here. Listen, you and I, we are saints that sin. And 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, that He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And can I tell you what that means? You who are saved, and we know that we have sinned, and we confess our sin. Let me tell you, when He forgives that sin, He throws that sin into the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Now think about that. That God has purged our sins. You know what the word purge means? I'm not going to get graphic. You know what it means to purge. That's what God has done with our sins. For 27 years, all the sins that I had committed, they are gone. They are forgotten. They are not held accountable to me anymore. Matter of fact, judgment. Therefore, there is no more condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. We are no longer condemned. Let me show it to you this way. Remember Simon Peter? Simon Peter was out on the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias. A number of years ago, we went with Al Reichman to Israel. We were out on the Sea of Galilee in what they call a Jesus boat. And we're just kind of trolling along and, you know, just the excitement of it. Tour guide stopped and said, Weed, you got a word for us? I said, yeah, I do. I stood up and pulled out my New Testament and I got to preach. And it was so cool. You know, I began to think about how the storms of life, how the storms there in the Sea of Galilee pick up so fast, so quick. Peter and the disciples were out in the boat and Jesus came walking to them. Remember the story? Can you see it in the storm, the waves, the water? The water was starting to come inside of the boat. And somebody said, hey, it's Jesus. What did Simon Peter say? He said, Lord, if it's you, would you bid me? You know, I don't think he whispered it. You ever been in a storm to where you could whisper and have somebody hear you? He said, Lord, if it's really you, he said, bid me to come to you. And what did Jesus say? Come on. Come on. And as he grabbed the side of the boat, I'm sure, and stepped out on the water, and all the boys inside, all the disciples said, Simon, you're crazy. You know, water's for drinking, water's for fishing, water's for bathing, but it's not for walking on. But Simon Peter started walking, did he not? He was walking. Not fearful, as he was walking in the Spirit. You and I would have looked and with our minds said, oh man, he's crazy. He had no fear. Because God said, come. God said, I want you to do this. You asked, you committed yourself to me. And I'm going to let you to be committed to me. But the Bible says when the winds and the storm started coming on to him and he became fearful, what happened was that he started seeing life with his mind, not his heart, and he started to sink. And he said, Lord, save me. Jesus walked over and lifted him up by the hand, and they walked back. You know, I don't read any place in that chapter where Jesus and he got back to the boat or even sitting around eating saying, hey, Simon, remember when you failed and I lifted you up? He never brings up our past. That's because our sins purged. He does not bring those up. You know who brings them up? You do. Satan does. Your wife does. Wives don't get hysterical. They get historical, don't they? Sometimes. Let me tell you, the things that we do by the Spirit of God has nothing to do with what we think with our mind. Everything is processed through the heart, through the Spirit. Now, you might say, well, that's not a good idea, but the Spirit of God is telling you, you know, you need to do that. You know, those are all things that we need to understand that. Because, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new, what? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are. They are. They are. They are becoming new. In other words, what we used to do before we were saved, we always did. We always try to find peace with one another. We always try to find peace with God. And I wanted to do things that God would accept me. If there was enough things, good things that I could do for God to accept me, then He has to accept me. But we know that the Bible says, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, that we are saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. But when we come to Him, we are a new creature. We no longer have to do to be loved by God. We are loved by God. Constantly, 24/7. There is no more doing, but now there is learning. Learning who we are. And when we begin to learn who we are, we begin to glorify God. It's no longer our performance. You know, that's the way it was before we got saved. And let me tell you, some Christians are still living in performance-based. You're always trying to do things to get people to like you or to continue to like you. No, you know, I told my wife 45 years ago, honey, I love you, and when I change my mind, I'll let her know. But the things that I do because I love her. And matter of fact, the things that I do because I am saved, not to become saved or to remain saved. Because I am saved. And because I am saved, Jesus loves me. He's concerned for me. He provides all things for me. And I don't have to perform to have Him to perform for me. It's no longer performance. I am who I am. Like me or hate me, that's up to you. But I'm still okay in my flesh. I'm still okay in my bones. I'm still okay looking in the mirror. And I know that my God loves me. He made me the way that I am. We need to understand that. In the image of God. Sometimes we run not only by our performance, but sometimes by our possessions. Oh, I have a lot of possessions, therefore God must love me. And you know, I don't have many possessions, so God must not love me as He loves you. You know, blessings of God has nothing to do with money. To have the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that guards our hearts and minds, that's a blessing. That is a blessing. To have the health that you and I have today, that's a blessing. Oh yeah, sure, money might come along. But blessings are not all wrapped up in money. No, God loves me. I know that. So our identity is not based on how we see ourselves or how other people see us, but our identity is found in Christ. Because let me tell you, one day you are going to stand You're going to stand by yourself before a holy, righteous God. You're going to stand. You know, matter of fact, because I am saved, nothing has to take place for me to go to heaven right now. Nothing. That heart can stop beating. And I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved and going to heaven. If I would die right now, the other day, yesterday, my wife and I went out to the cemetery off of Holmes, looked at my family plot. They're my family's plots. And I had to question some of them. Marcia said, "You okay, Larry?" "No, I'm not. I don't know about this one and salvation and this one and this one and this one." You know how good it is and how perfect it is and how right it is, if you're a born-again Christian, to let your family know that you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. That way they don't have to question. I wonder where he's at. Wonder where he's at. Nothing has to take place because I called upon the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ for 47 years I've been saved. I know that for a fact. You know, we need to live like we are saved. We need to live like we know that we are saved. Because there is no more condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Matter of fact, the judgment, the penalty and the judgment of our sin has been taken care of, church. You know how marvelous that is? The penalty and the sin. But what does Jesus say? He says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." You know what that cross means? That cross means death, doesn't it? You know, as wicked as what that cross was, no man ever came down off that cross alive. No person. Jesus says, "What I want you to do, if any man's going to come after me, if you're going to be his disciple, if you're going to be his follower," he says, "let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." That means death. Death. We need to die to ourselves. Hey, I have rights. No, the only right that you have is not to have any rights. Death. Need to have death to myself. It always represents a cruel death. And freedom. Freedom that we're talking about today for the Christian is that we are dead in Christ. We are dead to ourselves, but alive in Christ. We are dead to our sins, but alive in Christ. A death took place. And you know what the cross means to a lot of people? Well, that means that I have to carry on a burden for somebody. Oh, I have a sick mother, and I have to take care of her, and she's my cross, she's my burden. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with us dying to ourselves. You died to yourself. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20 says, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." Paul says, I'm dead. I'm crucified. I am dead. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm still alive over here. And he says, "The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Can I tell you that there are a number of people, and you might be here this morning, but I know of a number of people who are ruled from the grave because of what mom or dad or uncle or aunt or somebody said about how you're dumb, you're stupid, you're ugly, and you believed it. And you still believe it today, and you're still living in bondage, the chains of what somebody else has said. Not right. You need to be free. You need to be free of what people say about you. Even if it was your mother, your father, your uncle, your aunt, no matter what they said. Listen, people can be mean. Mean people are mean people, are they not? And the problem is with our mind, we believe those things. But with our heart, No, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And we need to forgive those people who have said those mean things about us or to us. That's not who I am. What you think of me is not who I am. My identity is found in Christ and Christ alone. That's what the Bible says. Talk about freedoms. We have real freedom. Because it's not according to what you think about me. It's not according to what you might say about me. It just bounces off. I'm not the Superman. But I do duck when the gun's thrown at me. Freedoms that we... Are you free? Are you free in Christ? Because you know that you're not wrapped up in the things that people have said about you? Free in Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Talk about July 4th. For the Christian, we live July 4th every day. We wake up in the morning and we realize that we have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You notice it says nothing about the soul. Let me read it to you again. For ye are bought with a price. Do you know that? You've been bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit that came from the Holy Spirit of God. Let those two things glorify God, and you will be made free. Be made free for eternity. Glorifying God in your body and in your spirit. You know, the greatest thing that we need to understand is that I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. What's in this body? This body holds our soul and our spirit, does it not? That's what it does. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, your entire life, your entire being, everything about you, as a living sacrifice. You know, sacrifice never came down off the altar. It was there for all eternity. I beseech you, present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, unto God. And right off the bat, many of you are saying, holy? I can't be holy. Do you know what I think? Do you know what I do? Wait a minute. If you're in Christ, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. You might have walked in here and thought about all the things that your mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and the people that you worked with said about you, and you began to believe that. You think that's who you are. Today, the Lord says, present your body, your soul and spirit to me. And He says, I will prove myself to you by renewing your mind. The mind is what needs to be renewed with the Spirit of God. And that takes place only if you want it to. But He says, it's here. And if you're here this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ, You don't have the peace with God. You don't even have the peace of God. Behold, today is the day of salvation. You can know Him today. You can know Him today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what that is? You know what God wants you to do? God says, why don't you present your life to me? Well, you know, Lord, if you'd only tell me what you want, then I'll go ahead and make up my mind whether or not I want to do that. No, He says, just present your body and soul, spirit to me. And He said, I will provide. You know, a lot of people don't know what God wants. I don't mean a week from today or a year from today or 6 months from today. I'm talking about today, there is a will of God that God wants you to know. Do you know Him? Are you free in Him? I can't think of a better time than the 4th of July weekend to to understand what real freedom is. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You in that precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we ask and pray that You would bless in Your invitation, that Your Word never returns void. Lord, that You would speak to our hearts this day. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? If there's something that you need to bring to the Lord, why don't you bring it? There will be men and women here that will be able to pray with you, come along your side and encourage you, strengthen you. Why don't you come? Maybe you need to be set free. Maybe you need your mind to be renewed in the Spirit of God, not in what other people think. Why don't you come this morning? Why don't you come?
Well, we're thankful to have Brother Olson with us today. Come back for the afternoon service at 1 o'clock. He'll be preaching there as well. Then we also have the licensing service after that for Brother Lalo today. We're excited for that. Then the July 4th at the Foster Farm. We're excited for that as well. So arrive at around 4:30, and we're going to be at 5. And the address is here as well, or you can come to any Fosters. We know it. And then VBS, we're getting ready for that. I'm not nervous yet, but we're going to get there. And then that's July 16th through 19th, Stompers and Chompers. And then we have tracks back there. Please go grab them and pass them out. We are looking forward to it and getting ready. Then the church cleaning schedule as well. We want to get that filled out and then the guest speaker up. It was a great service this morning. Brother Richard, can you please pray for us?